She was rubbing her eyes, and so I was like, okay, you know, I'll go to the next car and maybe come back and give her one, because I couldn't get her attention. So I ran to the next car and gave them one and came back. And I realized I waited there for a little bit and tried to get her attention, and she finally took down her hands from her eyes, and I realized that she was crying. And so it was just a blessing that I just gave her the John and Romans and tried to smile and said, you know, it's a gift in Spanish, and it was just a blessing because she smiled a little bit and took it. And I mean, I don't know none of us know what she was going through, but it was a blessing that there was at least one person that I knew needed the gospel down there and needed something to, a hope for that. So that was a blessing to me to be able to give someone the gospel that was going through something really hard. And then also I got to talk to a young lady the last day we were out there, and she was younger, but it was a blessing to be able to talk to somebody one-on-one because we did a lot of just passing out and stuff. But it was a blessing to just talk to them, reason with them, and just, you know, be able to think of her and pray for her. So, one other thing I'll just close with. The Lord also taught me through this, with mission trips you get tired and you get weary, but, it's not like a trial at all because you're on a mission trip and it's like, you know what, I'm only here for a short time. I'm just going to push through it. Everybody has done it before. And it was neat because, you know, when the Lord puts verses on your hearts and on your mind, and just keeps on popping them into your head. And when you're out on the medians and you get tired because you're literally running from each car, and one of the times you sit out there for almost 2 hours, so it was like really exhausting, but then you'd see all these vendors and it's like they're doing it for money. I can do it for my Savior who died for me and has given me everything I have. You know, and so the Lord kept it, and you'd get tired and stuff, and then you'd have to walk all the way back at the beginning, you know, and pass them out again. But the Lord kept on bringing the verse to my mind, 2 Corinthians 12:9, the part where it says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And not that we are going through anything trying or anything like that, but when you get tired, it's like it just shows how weak your flesh is. And it was just a blessing that, you know, when we're the weakest, the Lord is the strongest, and he can show us so much through that. So, yeah, thanks for your prayers.
Well, I want to thank you for your prayers and support for us, and just a really cool story that happened. I had like three or five John and Romans left. I was passing this store, a souvenir store, and I was like, I won't go there. But then I stopped and I walked in the store. So I gave there's two guys at the counter. I gave those to them. And then there's two guys in the back of the store. I'm like, I'll get them later. So I go across the store and there's these two ladies there. I give the one to the one lady and she says thank you and walks away. But then I had one left and I gave it to the lady and I just handed it to her and she looked at it and like opened the book and then she started crying and she's like, oh, I'm saved. Thank you so much for doing this. Puerto Rico really needs this. And she was just like really happy that we were out there. She gave me a hug and was like, thank you so much. So that kind of made the trip all the more worth it. It was really cool that happened. And so thanks for your prayers. They're appreciated.
Well, first off, I just want to say the week was amazing. It was the first time I've ever gone on a missions trip by myself. My family's gone to Germany a couple times, well, more than a couple. And so I was with them, obviously. So this is my first time, and it was a really great experience. First off, I just want to thank my Savior for letting me go to this missions trip, for opening the door. I want to thank you guys as a church for inviting me. And then I want to thank the teens for adding me as part of their group. I didn't feel out of place there at all. So I guess I just want to start out with what I got from the trip. There's a quote from Jim Elliot, and he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And I don't put our trip to the suffering point of what Jim Elliot went through. But I mean, we didn't have our bed, and I had to share a bed with Naomi all week. So we're both 5'9", we're kind of tall, so it was a little hard. But just giving up little things, I would never trade the experience that I got from this trip for comfort. It was just amazing. Another thing was, Lord showed me that he's still working in lives. He showed me more of how trust really goes into this, because you know, we passed out that many tracts. I think it was 14,580. That's a big number, and, you know, a little seed of doubt rose up in me, and I'm like, how many of those are going to get read? How many people are actually going to, you know, read those and maybe get saved? But the Lord showed me this verse, and it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What we did in Puerto Rico was not in vain. Those tracks will still go on throughout all, well, as far as the Lord's coming back, I guess. But he's going to work with those tracks. He's going to show people through those tracks how to get saved. And that's just a blessing to me. So I just want to say thanks again for having me here, and I'll always cherish those 7 days.
Everybody else said at this point, I want to say thank you for just all the prayers and stuff. And not only that, but the encouraging words. You don't know sometimes when we're getting ready for these trips and stuff, you know, we're praying about, you know, Lord, do you even want me to go? You know, I don't just want to make this thing the teens are going, so I'm going to go, you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes somebody says, you know, I was really glad to hear you're going, you know, the Lord's going to do a lot in your life. You know, it's really cool to hear that. And, you know, even though it's really small, even just a small word of encouragement can mean a lot. So, I mean, I encourage people to keep doing that. And I mean, it means a lot. And, you know, Brother Dave kind of touched on the fact that people are really nice, but with that there comes kind of an island mindset of like non-commitment and just kind of throwing away the clock, and, you know, nobody cares, you know. But it made me really thankful for a church that, you know, keeps track, and they know you're there and they're praying for you. And, you know, it was really evident at times that you guys were praying, and it becomes kind of just a cliche, you know, sometimes when we come back, just thank you. Yeah. No, like, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. But this was my sixth mission trip, and I kind of went into it with the mindset of, like, this could be my last one for a while, you know, moving on and working and finishing school and stuff. And, you know, so I really wanted to, you know, not have any regrets on this one, and, you know, I didn't want to get distracted. And it was kind of cool because one day, like Naomi said, we were on the streets, and, you know, you get tired and stuff, but I just kind of tried to remember, you know, these are some of the times that I'm going to remember, and I'm not going to remember the times when I'm tired, but I'm going to remember the times serving the Lord, and really, those are some of the best times of your life, if you think about it. And even just coming back here, it's like, you know, it's not always going to be fun, but sometimes just enjoy visitation. I mean, it could be one of the best times of your life because you're serving the Lord. So I was really thankful for just kind of seeing that and stuff, and it was really fun to be on the streets. You know, it was fun. You know, you get off the media, and if you got a lot of cars lined up, you could get out like 50 John and Romans just in one run. And one time I was able to go so far that I got to the guardrail. And by the time I got back, it turned red and got green again. So that was pretty cool. But it was funny, the first day I was kind of like uncomfortable in the streets, and, you know, trying not to get hit. And it was funny because this black Puerto Rican guy, you know, I gave him one, and I kept going, and, you know, I'm running back, and he keeps honking his horn, and he's, like, trying to get me to come back, and finally, he just sticks his head out the window, and he's like, "Hey, white boy, thank you." So that was kind of funny. So that was kind of fun, but, you know, something I kind of learned on this trip is, like I said, I wanted to really make this a good one. You know, it's one of the last times I might be able to go for a while, and for sure the last time with the teens. And, you know, you always pray, and you're looking for the next big thing in your life and what the next big thing that the Lord's going to do. But, you know, sometimes I think the Lord just kind of taught me on the trip. Sometimes it's not a big thing. It's just a little thing. And there were just so many little things that the Lord worked out and did that makes it all worth it. And in the end, sometimes it's not the mountaintops, but it's the valleys and it's the plains. And, you know, things like that really made it worthwhile. And again, just thank you so much. I don't deserve the family or the church anything, and I just really appreciate all you guys have done for me over the years. Just the prayers, like I said, the words of encouragement have meant a lot, so thank you. So you plan out for days what you're going to say, and then you get up here and everything just goes away. So you wrote it down. So obviously, thank you guys for your prayers. And thank you for the individuals. You know who you are. Before the trip and even after, you walked up to me, patted me on the shoulder, and said, "I'm praying for you." So thank you for that. Thank you to my fellow teens. It was a great week. We had a lot of fun and passed out a lot of scripture. And it was a real blessing that Bethany and Micah were able to come and just get to know new people.
And over the week, got to talk to him individually and just get to know him more. And it was really good fellowship. And I just want to say this was my second mission trip. We went to Canada. And that trip, I didn't really do much preparation. I didn't do much praying for it. Just kind of went with the flow, and I guess I went. And this one, I was thinking about it, and we met Brother David in Pastor Buchanan's church, and he was talking about how only dead fish go with the flow. And so that kind of, you know, hit my heart, and I was like, all right, so that's what I was doing for those years. And this trip I actually prayed, you know, invested prayers into, and really saw a lot of investment come back to me. You know, the Lord really blessed me with that. And the whole trip I was just praying, Lord, show me something I didn't know before, and hit my heart with something I didn't know before. And this trip, I guess the main thing for me was the kindness of the Puerto Rican people, just the kindness that one person can have can change someone's life forever. And a lost person can be used, maybe not as much, but a lost person can be used. God can use them. Like that man on the street corner when we were singing, he offered us his microphone, and he ended up being a Catholic man, but he gave us his microphone that we could sing and give the gospel to all those people. So that was huge. It was a real blessing singing at Brother Buchanan's in Aguadilla and the Spears in Anasco, and then obviously meeting all like David and all those people at the Buchanan's. And just it was a great week, guys, so thank you very much.
I'm going to follow the example of the slideshow. I'm going to tell the funny story first. So we're sitting in the Minneapolis airport, getting ready to get on the plane to go to Puerto Rico. Brother Darling leans over me and goes, I just realized this. They're going to be flying through the Bermuda Triangle. And I look over at Kevin, and his face lit up. He's like, I can't wait to tell my mom I flew through the Bermuda Triangle. And this is a quote he said. He's like, if I die, I go to heaven, but if I live, I can say I flew through the Bermuda Triangle. So that was pretty funny. But this is my third missions trip, my second with the teens. It was a this was probably the best one based on the, you know, just the how the teen group gelled together and the receptiveness of the people. And I just one memory from the first day we were out there, I was out with David, and he was such a blessing. He was like a Sam. He was just someone who you could talk to. He was just very, very cordial. He understood everything. And first day we were out there, I jammed my backpack full of John and Romans. And it was me, David, Naomi, and I can't remember who else. And we're going down the streets putting John and Romans in car windshield wipers and giving them two cars. And, you know, if the first car takes one, 20 cars after them are going to take one. And then vice versa as well. But halfway through the first day, I come back to Mr. David. I'm just like, hey, I'm out. He's like, oh man, that backpack was full. You're going crazy. You know, it's just like, and it was just a real blessing. You know, just a, you know, 15,000 scriptures. You know, and just but the main thing that the Lord showed me was the thing He showed Joseph on his Ukraine trip. Brother Carpenter was talking the first day. You know, God works through the little things a lot. And I think the best thing of the week was we were having devotionals one day, and I won't mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but he was teaching devotions, and he was talking about complaining. And he's just like, we have it so nice back home, and we come down here and we complain about the humidity. You know, our cot's too firm, the bar's digging into my back, there's centipedes crawling around everywhere. And it's just like, what are we complaining about? Jesus Christ, you know, you've read the Bible, you know what He went through, all the stuff He went through for us, and we complain because we sweat. You know, it's just like, oh, I'm soiling my nice clothes. Who cares? You're not down there for your clothes. You're down there to hand out John and Romans. But you know, it's just God works through little things. And the other little thing was the last night. I believe we all went in there, and we all went into the auditorium. And we were praying for the day, the service that was coming up next. You know, it was, we all split off in little groups of three and four. And I'm not charismatic or Pentecostal, but it was thick in there. You could really feel that the Lord was working there that night, because I feel like the teen group just bonded. You know, like I felt like before we left, there was some divisions and, you know, some, you know, backbiting and all that. And we got down there, and it was just that last night, everybody just, it looked like all our differences were cast aside, and we all just gelled together. It's like, hey, we're all down here for the same cause. So let's just stick together and do this and not fight amongst each other, because what kind of testimony would that be to the lost people? So thanks for all your prayers. It was a real blessing. And I'm sure it can be a blessing to you if you decide to go to the 100 Teens 100 Days.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for coming out tonight
to hear us. Just want to thank you guys for your prayers, too, like everyone has said. But as Jake was saying on the last night, how everyone was praying for the meetings on Sunday, that was one of the best nights I've ever had with the teen group. Like, we weren't close, like, me and Joseph, we talked, but, like, and me and Peter, me and Jake, like, we all grew closer together, we all talked a lot more, and just came together. And also, I want to say, like, me and Peter were out on, I think it was Friday, we were out on the streets, and me and him ran out of John Ruhlman's, and it started to sprinkle, but there's this one guy in his bike, and he didn't speak any English, so we're talking to him, like trying new with our hands and stuff, and we couldn't give him a John Roman or anything because we're like completely out. So like we're talking to him for a while, and then like we said bye because we know how to say bye in Spanish, and then we walked away, and then we come around the corner, and there he is again. He's like, hi, because like as Kevin was saying, they're all so nice, like. Even it, like, they didn't understand us, but we're just still talking. I'm talking in English to him, and he's talking in Spanish, and we, like, he doesn't care and that I'm talking in English, and I don't care that he's talking in Spanish, because we don't get what each other is saying, so we're just agreeing with everyone. So it seems like we're agreeing with everything everyone's saying, so it was kind of funny. So, and then, like, Mrs. Darling, Jake, and Jake were, like, three blocks down the, and it started to pour, and the car was locked with foam. Me and Peter had to wait, so we just went under somebody's house because their garages were basically just their house up off the ground, and they just parked the cars under there. So we just sat under there for like 5 minutes, and then we see them come booking it to the cars. That was one of the funnest days because like it was so hot there, but like you got used to it after a couple days, but the rain, it felt so nice. But we had to stop because it got so bad that you would get drenched in literally like 5 seconds. And the John Romans were getting all wrecked, so we had to wait. And it rained practically every day there, except when it would rain during our lunch break. So that was nice. So there was one time where we got stopped on the streets because it was raining so much. But also like on the first day, we passed out 2,100 John Romans on the first day. And like Brother Carpenter has said, some of the other teen groups that had gone there on there, they haven't, they didn't, that's how much they'd pass out in a week. So that was just awesome to hear. And like also, there's one teen group who went down and they're passing out just to beat a record to get 8,000 out. And like, we didn't even know the record until like the third day, and we had already got like 5,000 ounces, so that's just a blessing. Like everyone has said, we gelled together, and getting to know Micah and Bethany better, it's been the best trip in my life so far. Thank you.
Okay. So this was my first mission trip, and this one was a real big blessing to me. Like the guys have said, just getting to know each other, because before the mission trip, sometimes we would like just kind of butt heads with each other, and sometimes we just didn't really get along. But last night on Saturday, we just all spread out into like groups of three or four, and we talked, and then so there was a lot of people in the chapel, so we wanted to go somewhere where nobody was, so we went to one of the cars. And we were just talking about different stuff and the battle, and that was just a big blessing to me. And just how the Lord uses just little stuff like that to get us all glued together and
to solace our differences. And one thing that one of them said was, like, we all have our different talents and things that we can do, but, like, is that going to help us on the streets? Not really, but, like, we have to all work together and go out there on the streets, because if we all, I mean, we can go out into neighborhoods by ourselves and go on the streets to pass all this stuff, and we'll get a lot out, but if we're not working together and we're not honoring God through it, it's not going to do anything. And so the Lord was just really dealing with me about that. But it was just a big blessing, and I know we all say this, but thank you really much for your prayers, because it would have been useless without yours. And what was a blessing to me is just how receptive the people were. Like, you just go out there and you start walking out into the street, and somebody would roll down the window and say, hey, give me one. And so you just walk over there and hand it into their car. And it's just like, it was such a blessing. They would, and some of the people at the stores, they're like, you go to buy it, and he was like, oh no, just take it, it's fine, just take it. And like, it was just crazy to see how nice the people were. And then you come back to America, and like, you're driving along the road, and then all of a sudden, like, you just pull in, and somebody honks at you. It's like, I never heard one horn in Puerto Rico. Like, you could just start walking in the middle of the road and everybody would stop. And it'd be fine. I'm just like, it was crazy. But thank you again for all your prayers. It really helped, and it's a big blessing to me. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you guys for your prayers. It's a blessing to know that you can go to a little bit of a foreign place, still U.S. territory, but you can go to a foreign place and know that you have a church family praying for you, of about 100 some odd people praying for you, praying for your safety. It's just a huge blessing. One of the biggest things, it was kind of cool. We, me and Joseph, we were walking on the first or second day, something like that, and we seen a parking lot with security guards around it, and we're asking the security guard, can we pass these out? But he didn't speak any English, and we're pointing at the John and Romans. And he smiles at us and starts pointing at the cars. Yeah, you can go pass those out. You try and do that in the Mall of America parking lot, you probably get tackled by security. So that was just really cool, you know. Just the respect that we have for each other now, all the teens, everybody. It was just amazing how much respect we have for each other now. The fellowship we had down there, it was amazing. Just how God got me on the trip. I applied for a job so I could go on the trip, and I was getting kind of discouraged because they haven't called me for about a month and a half. And I don't think I got the job because of my winning personality. I think it was God. God gave me that job, and he gave me the opportunity to make money so I go on that trip. It's just a huge blessing. It is amazing. Best trip I've ever been on. Thank you guys for your prayers.
I just wanted to thank the church for letting me go and inviting me on this missions trip. This was my first missions trip and first plane ride. The first plane ride is kind of crazy, but then after that it was like, whatever. So we went down there and we were helping Pastor Buchanan and his wife. They've been preaching or pastoring that church for about, I want to say, 25 years now, and he's actually looking to retire. And he might ask his assistant pastor, Brother David, and the Brother Buchanan, they're from, I want to say, Georgia. And his assistant pastor, Brother David, he was born in New Jersey, but his parents were Puerto Rican. You can definitely tell he looks like a Puerto Rican, so he's probably going to be pastoring that church. So, and we were just helping... the first few days we were helping Pastor Buchanan hand out John and Romans, and I remember we were on the street, kind of the business end of town, and or downtown, I should say, and there was a bunch of businesses on the street too, and handing out John and Romans, and I was handing some out to some ladies, and then I hear pounding on the window, and I turn, and there's a lady knocking on the window, and she's motioning me to come inside, and so I walk inside, and there's a bunch of people sitting down. It almost looked like some sort of a meeting or maybe a get together or some party or something. The lady said something quick in Spanish. I was like, I don't know. And then she says, what is that? And I just say, it's a John and Roman Bible. Would you like one? Yes. And then I asked about everybody else in the room, and just about everybody else in the room wanted one too. So this is pretty encouraging the first day, and you get asked for a Bible or asked to get a Bible. So, and then after that, we just we went to different neighborhoods and combed the streets. We usually went by two, one guy on one side of the street and the other on the other side of the street. So we got a lot of John Romans handed out, and we went like a bunch of other of the teens said. We went most of the adults, and I was able to go out onto the median. And that was a little crazy at first, but you get a little used to it, but kind of. You don't want to get too used to it, otherwise. And then it was crazy because I remember we were on our way back to the hotel from the airplane, and I was riding with Brother Carpenter, and he said, past 10, you're able to run through stoplights because the crime was, I guess, so bad down there during the night, and so you were able to run stoplights. And he also said turn signals were optional, so a little bit not like the U.S., but still like the U.S. down there. But the people were very receptive, and that was just foreign to me coming from the States, and nobody wants one. It's just crazy. And then the bugs down there were, there was a big, just big centipedes, really thick ones. It was really nasty. Iguanas, lizards. And then one night we were out playing, a bunch of the guys were playing basketball, and we hear almost like a child running through the woods. And like, what is that? Just tingled up your spine, and we found out it was the rats running through the forest or the jungle, just monstrous rats. And then so we'd have to shake out our bedding and pillows before night, and our shoes, see if anything crawled inside to sleep with us. And then, so after that, we helped out Brother Spears. That was about 20 minutes away, maybe. We helped him out, and and I should have mentioned this first, but so we'd get up and we all take showers because it's hot and humid. And so then we'd pray, and then we'd go eat, and then we'd have some devotions. And a lot of the guys were able to do devotions for the morning service before we'd head out. So that was a big blessing. And Brother Darling was able to preach Wednesday night, and that was a big blessing. And we went to, on Sunday, we went to Brother Spears' church, and we had a couple of visitors. We had one was from the mountain area. His name was Israel. We talked to him a little bit, and it was just a blessing to see him come. And we actually had the caterers from afterwards come, and Brother Carpenter invited them in, so they were able to hear the gospel. And it was kind of crazy because Brother Spears, he was preaching in English at first, but then as soon as visitors came in, he'd switch over, so we were like, but he had a projector so we could at least see what book of the Bible he was in, so we were kind of able to follow along. But yeah, it was just a big blessing to go on this missions trip, and I just wanted to thank everybody. And just a couple things that really just stood out to me was maybe going down there, and just the Lord brought it to my attention that that maybe serving the Lord isn't always convenient or pleasant, but we just got to do it. And then another thing is, a lot of you don't know, but I played video games. I play a lot of video games, and it's just the Lord just showing me that I just need to get over this. So my goal is to stop video games or play very little bit. So we just pray for all the teens that made decisions down there, for life decisions and everything. So thank you.
So this was my first missions trip, and it was a really big blessing because the reception of the people down there was really amazing. Because, like, if you would want to hand a tract to a car in Minnesota, like, they would run you over, you know. So you would hold out a John and Romans to the car, and they would stop in the middle of the road, and you would be able to hand one to them. So that was really amazing to me. But the thing that really stuck out to me was the Saturday night. We all broke out into little groups and prayed, and that night really changed my life, because I got right, and yeah, it was, I didn't want to lose that. So just, yeah, pray that nobody loses the fire that they get when we come back. You know, we're all fired up when we come back. Just pray that nobody loses that. So this, again, thank you for your prayers. And it was a really great trip. Thank you.
I'm just going to start out just saying thank you for all your prayers. A couple of people came up to me after the trip and was like, I was praying for you. I was like, oh, thanks so much. Like, it's just a great blessing to hear that people are praying for us. One thing that really, like, stuck out to me was when we land to Newark, I lost my wallet. Like, it was really weird. It was in my purse, and my purse is zipped up. And, like, I opened it, and I was like, man, my wallet's gone. So thankfully, like, it was really cool because all the teens came up to me and like, just pray, like, Satan's just trying to get a hold of you, just pray. And I was just like, oh man, why would the Lord want me to lose my wallet? Like, I had my ticket, like, if I don't find my ticket, I can't go to Puerto Rico. And I was like really like discouraged and everything. But thankfully the plane ride was canceled for like another 30 minutes. And like the lady came up to me and she was like, I felt so sorry. And she was like, I found your wallet. And I was just like, wow, I get my ticket. I get to go to Puerto Rico now, and it was just really cool to like see the Lord working in that situation. One thing like that was really cool was we were handing out gospel tracts and stuff, and there was this guy in his car. He was playing like really loud music. Like the one thing in Puerto Rico is their loud music. They play it like really loud, and like I held out the John and Romans, and he took one, and he turned off his music, and he like stopped in the middle of the road for like 5-10 minutes and read a couple pages, but like, people started honking, so we kept on driving. But like, it was really cool to see that like he stopped, and like I didn't hear his music anymore, and like, it was just really cool. And I just want to say again, just thanks for all the prayers. It's really cool to hear people say that you're praying for you. Just thank you for that.
You're not Jane.
Well, my husband asked me to get up here, so but I you know, just there's like a ton of things I could say. There's just, this trip was like amazing, and I guess first of all, thank you for praying, because you could just tell, just like everyone already said, you could just tell, you know, we had people at Woodcrest saying, oh, we're going to pray for you. We met people at the airport before we left, you know, Christians, and they're like, oh, we're going to pray for this trip, and it's like, you just knew people were praying. It was just so neat. So that was such a blessing. And I know the kids were praying because I had to drive on some mountain roads. That I'm not like a mountain road driver. When I found out I had to drive, got a little nervous. But I didn't get nervous. And I'm like, that is so the Lord. And thank you guys for praying. Like, okay, just focus, you know. So that was a real blessing. But I was really excited because I grew up Catholic, and I knew Puerto Rico was very Catholic, and I thought, you know what, that's what I wanted. I was 25 years old before I even got any form of scripture in my hand, and when I saw their faces, I'm like, that's me. That is exactly like I was, you know, that many years ago. And I even told one of the guys, I said, you were like I was, you know, except for he had all the stuff on his face, you know, except for the bonds, you know, because I said, but now I'm free, you know, and that was such a blessing. But that was exciting to me to know that, oh, I get to do this. Somebody did it for me. And, you know, I praise the Lord that these kids grew up saved at a young age. And I'm just excited that the seed went out and I got to be a part of that. And I praise the Lord. And one of the cities, our last city we went to, and the kids were singing in the square. And the first guy I talked to and the last guy I talked to took the whole time. But the first guy kind of, like Pastor would say, fell into a tackle box. And he was selling things, and it was very, very demonic and very sad. You know, my heart just went out to him. And so we talked quite a bit. And then the last guy I talked to, suit, tie, a lawyer, I mean, everything. It's like, this is extremes, you know. But they both, God allowed me to talk to them and, you know, just give them the same, you know, verses, gospel, you know, about, you know, the Lord and saving grace. And And then on our plane right back, I didn't even tell the kids yet, but there was this lady that I got to talk to, and she crossed herself before we took off and started praying. I'm like, you are just like me, you know, years ago. And I'm like, oh, Lord, just please help me to be able to talk to her. And so we had a really good talk. I seriously thought she was going to get saved. I was all like, oh, this is going to be great, you know. And so we talked a long time. And then I said, well, will you just receive this gospel tract? It's basically what we already talked about. And she's like, oh, yeah, I will. And I look over, and she's crying. And I'm like, she's going to get saved, you know. But, you know, I let her read and gave her some time. And then a little while after, I said, now, do you have any questions, you know? And she's, and can I help you in any way? And she's like, no, it's okay. She just needs time, you know. It took me time, you know. And I'm thankful that people planted seeds and prayed for me and everything like that. So her name is, well, this is how I say it, Jarlene. But I wrote it down because it starts with a Y. It has another Y in it. It's like, hmm. So if anybody reads Spanish, I'll show you how what it looks like. But so pray for her, you know. I did say, please call the number on the back. You know, I wrote my name if she does make any decision. But please pray for her. She's from Puerto Rico. She's going to New Jersey or somewhere for work. But yeah, the trip was great, and I'm very thankful that I was a part of it. So thank you.
Amen. Again, thank you for all your prayers, and it really was really a great trip. I enjoyed spending the time with young people, seeing their zeal and their desire to get the Word of God out. It's just so refreshing. I watch them and get the privilege of teach them and trying to have a small part in their lives, and just seeing how they're so far different from what I was at that age. And so I'm just always very enthused with that. Actually the driving, yeah, the mountain roads were, I didn't capture it on the picture, but one area we went to, and then GPS took us the wrong turn. We had to go back up the way we came. And at that time I had the little Nissan something or other, four of us in there. And it's really narrow, and this car comes whizzing around the corner. I stop, and it just gets by us. And now we're sitting at an extremely steep incline. You would never in the world find a road like this in Minnesota with ice. And put the pedal all the way to the floor. Car is not moving. And it's not moving at all. The RPMs are up about 3,000, 4,000. It's not moving. So I put the brakes back on, put it in one, and it just, little engine that could, just barely, barely going up the hill. I said, man, this is steep, you know. I thought maybe Joseph had to get out and push or something, but it was crazy. It was very steep. So, yeah, all the passengers in the car, thank you for your prayers. I think it was more self-preservation than anything. But and to my wife, it was outside her comfort zone. She did very well. One time we were, she almost leapt off a little wall there. Naomi made it over, but my wife didn't. It looked like about a 4-foot wall, and their car was on the other side. And so Naomi, I think Kevin, ran up to the wall, and then they hesitated. I think, well, that's kind of odd. And all of a sudden, I see Naomi, and her head just disappears. And it turned out it was about 8 feet on the other side or more. And so thankfully, my wife decided not to do that. So we drove her around. But anyway, just a lot of amazing things happened down there, seeing the receptiveness of the people. The work in the median was kind of an adrenaline rush. After like one time down, you just kind of like, wow, that was amazing. And then you know, semis and the noise and the heat and everything, and people are taking them, and then you get back in the median, and the cars are, you have to watch oncoming traffic as you're walking the median back, because the left turn lane's here, and then these people are coming by at 60, so you gotta keep your eyes on them in case they swerve a little bit, you know, so. But anyway, Lord protected us, and that was really a blessing. I'll be just something real quick to go over with you, and then we'll call it a night here, I believe. Just turn back to Deuteronomy for a minute. This will be kind of something I already went over, actually in teen class, but it just struck me, and Pastor a long time ago preached a whole message on this. And just in preparation for the trip, the Lord really poured on my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, and says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in a mount. Turn you, take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, into the valleys, and either unto, in the plain, and the hills, and the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to land the Canaanites on the Lebanon and the great river, the River Euphrates. So if you all know the story, you've probably hopefully read over it many times. Here's the children of Israel. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. And they've had everything provided for them. They've had all their clothes. They're wearing the same clothes. Nothing's rotted. They have food every day. They don't have to care about when they move, when they change camp. All the pillar of fire is moving. I guess we move, honey. It's time to pick up our tent. Most of their decisions are all made for them. And what I get out of this here is that we as Christians, that's a little picture of our Christian life, is that there's a lot of times in our life where God will come to us and says, you know, you've dwelt long enough here. It's time for you to take a journey. It's time to get out of your comfort zone. Time for, you know, everything's been provided. You know, I was aiming this at young people before we left, and a lot of it is young people. They've had everything provided for them, and all of a sudden, the next 5, 10, 15 years, their whole world's going to change, and they have to make a decision what they're going to do. But in reality, that's true for every one of us in this room, is that we have many points in our Christian life. It's just not a one-time surrender, come to the altar, and you're done for the next 40 years. That's not what it's about. What it's about is God puts on our heart, if we're honest with ourselves, many, many times in our Christian life, many, many times during your Bible reading, during your devotion, during the preaching. And you say, you know, Dave, you've dwelt long enough here. It's time for you to move on. And that isn't necessarily a move across the Atlantic or the Pacific. It's not a move to do something big and traumatic. It's just stop doing something in your life. Start doing something else in your life. It can be a small thing. Give me a large thing. But he says, you need to take your journey. It's time for you to move on. And he says, there's going to be some different, everyone's journey is different. My journey is different from yours and hers is from his. It's all different. But God has a plan for each of us. And I think a lot of times in our Christian life, we hear him knocking on our door. And we hear him says, Dave, it's time to take your journey. And we kind of turn our back because we're comfortable. I don't want to rock the boat. We're smooth sailing. It's pretty comfortable right here. I like it. And all these teens in some way, shape, or form had to take out of their comfort zone. Some of them was very hard. Some never been away from home for very long. None of them have been, except for Joseph or Naomi, have been 3,000, 2,500 miles away from home. And I know that there was times when they thought about that. And they thought about home and the different things. It was a sacrifice for them. They went outside their comfort zone to get the gospel down, to get the gospel to those people. And he says, what kind of a journey is it going to be? Look in verse 7. He says, I'll take you into the plain, into the hills, into the vale. The plains, just smooth. Sometimes our Christian life, God asks us to do something. It's like a little drive across the prairie, a little monotonous, not much danger. You can see I-90 going on forever there across South Dakota, just driving along. Sometimes it's through the valley, it's through the hills. You get up to the top, it's wonderful up here, and you go back down. And sometimes it's in the vale there, down in the valley. Sometimes you're down in the valley a long time. But that's a journey that God has for you at that time. So wherever it is, where is it going to be? Where will the journey be? And we know what happened. We know that the 12 tribes did cross the Jordan. But we know that 2.5 of them crossed, but they ended up taking their possession on the other side of the Jordan. They went back and they took their possession on the other side, right? And you look through the scriptures, and those 2.5 tribes never amounted to anything. All they were was trouble. And you know what? We can go through our Christian life, and we can go through the motions, and we can do all that we're supposed to do in other people's eyes, and we can walk the walk and look the part and everything, but in our heart, is our heart still on the other side of the Jordan? Or are we really on the other side with everyone else serving God? See, you can go on the other side and you can do things, but where's your heart at? And that a lot of times is why people walk out the door one time and they never come back, because their heart was still on the other side of the Jordan. They might have been in the room. They might have been doing the things. The question to ask yourself, just a couple tonight, and actually one more after that, so it's total three. But are you willing to take your journey, whatever God has for you? Maybe you've said yes to God all the time, but guaranteed there'll be something that will be a challenge to you. Are you ready to take your journey? Secondly, is your heart really in it? You can go through the motions, but will your heart kind of always be back in the world just a little bit? Is it hard for you just to really jump in with both feet? See, I don't understand that, because those 2.5 tribes, they've lived 40 years. Their shoes are perfect. Their clothes are perfect. They saw God provide every day of their lives for them. And they said, no, I don't think so. Everyone in this room has seen God provide. I've seen most everyone in this room has saved your soul from hell. What is it, people in this world, that's so precious that you'd ever consider going back to the other side of the Jordan to? It's not worth it. People, we need to jump in with both feet. When God asks us to take our journey, he says, we've dealt long enough in this mount. Let's go forward. Let's go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And maybe for somebody in this room, or maybe a few people, I don't know, only God knows your heart. Maybe you're still totally back in Egypt. In other words, maybe you've never really trusted God at all. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, our Lord Nicodemus asked, let's turn to John chapter 3, and we'll close it out for the night here. John chapter 3, very righteous man, a very good man, came to the Lord by night. In verse 2, John chapter 3, verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night, which is Nicodemus, and saying to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He tried to flatter him. And Jesus answered, verse 3, and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how then can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. First, three-fourths of this message was just about taking a journey as a Christian. But if you're in here tonight, I never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that. But our Bible, it's real simple. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You got to come to a conclusion in your mind. One of two things. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only two logical explanations. Either he was a liar and an imposter, or he was who he said he was. And I believe with all my heart, all my soul, he was who he said he was based on this book.
Yes, sir, yes.
And that's it.
Amen.
And you can, there's only two logical explanations. And pride, apathy, whatever, any kind of adjective you can think of can keep you away from Christ. The devil has all kinds of tools. But it's so simple. And he's asking you to take that journey. He stands at the door and he's waiting. But each one of us in this room, one, has a free will for salvation to accept him or reject him as your Lord and Savior. And secondly, once we accept him and once we're born again, once we're saved, then it's up to us, every individual in this room, to continue not just one journey, but when God puts things in our heart, people, to obey. And not just kind of keep God at arm's length, not just kind of keep our mind on the other side of Jordan, our heart on the other side of Jordan, but to jump over across that river and never look back. And just go from one city to another city, wherever God has us to go, and doing what the Lord has to do. So, anyway, that's it for this evening. But let's pray, and then I'll turn over to Pastor here. Lord, thank you for the testimony of these young people.